Samuel was destined to be a diplomat. At least that's what his father thought. But God and his mother had other plans. Today we'll hear the fascinating story of our co-host, Sam Neves, right here on Revival for Mission. Normally, we would be interviewing a unique or special guest. Well, in reality, it is a special guest that we have. In fact, it is our very own Pastor Sam Neves, who is the co-host of Revival for Mission. Sam, welcome into another aspect of Revival for Mission. You're in the seat of the interviewee, and I think this is going to be exciting. I mean, You've led a very interesting life. We're going to talk about some of the aspects and how God has led. But tell us a little bit, maybe a teaser about the story before we really get into it.
It's a very different seat, you know, being interviewed rather than being the one interviewing. I don't get to tell this story very often. Each of us have our own story, our own unique way which God has led us in different paths. And mine is I would say different from others in many different ways. Sometimes I don't feel like I had really the choice to say no to ministry. My mother dedicated me to be a pastor, and many things happened on the way that I tried to get out of it, but God kept bringing me back, and eventually I entered ministry and I couldn't be happier. So how God led in all these different ways, it's a fascinating story, and I'm glad for the opportunity to tell it.
And God is using you in a dynamic way. You're the associate director of our communication department worldwide. And he's led you through all kinds of interesting twists and turns, all under his hand. And that is a real testimony to how God can revive us for mission. So I'm excited. We're going to have a good discussion. Don't go away. We're going to be right back as we interview Pastor Sam Neves.
Under a home roof she's found weeping before her God, requesting strength and wisdom as to know how to raise me up. Angels attended each prayer, and God sent the needed help. Still sometimes she would wonder if her work was good enough. It was a praying mom that brought me before God's throne. It was a praying mom that wrestled with God for my soul. And I know I would be down some lost road and dark path, where not for God's grace and a praying
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. I mean, it's exciting to interview people who have a real story. Normally, Pastor Sam Neves and I would be doing the interviewing with someone, but of course, we're going to be interviewing Pastor Sam himself. Sam, tell me about your early years. You've lived now, if I'm not mistaken, on three continents. You are part of a world perspective, but how did all of this begin? Where did you grow up, and how did God intervene in your life as you worked along towards where He has placed you right now?
That's a very big question. Well, I've been a pastor in England for 11 years in local churches before coming to the office that I am at the moment, which is a ministry mainly focused on digital evangelism and other aspects of communication. And before that, I grew up in Brazil. So all my upbringing was in Brazil. My mother was a church planter there. And I suppose my story is really her story, because when she married my father, they tried for many years to have children. And for one reason or another, they just couldn't have children. And somebody introduced my mother to an Adventist family who said to her, "I tell you what you need. You need Bible studies." And the truth is, nobody warns you before you start studying the Bible that life will never be the same again.
Uh-huh.
Right? And when you start studying
the
Bible,
in the best way possible.
In the best way possible. Yeah. Of course, she came from a crisis. And as she understood the Bible and started reading for herself, she discovered the story of Hannah. In the Bible. And Hannah in the Bible, she goes to the temple and she cries out to God, and she promises her child will be God's, to serve Him.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother strikes a deal with God. "God, if you give me a child, a son, I will dedicate him to the ministry. And he's going to be a pastor of this church that I am studying the Bible with."
Is that why your name is Samuel?
That's exactly right.
Because
a few months later, she was pregnant. And when I was born, she named me Samuel, just like Hannah's son.
Isn't that amazing?
And dedicated me to God to be a minister.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, your mother has been involved in evangelism. Obviously, this Bible study and this intense getting into God's Word really did something to her life. And I've met your mother. She's a dynamic person. She's just effervescent, you know. She's just on fire for the Lord. But tell me more about how she became a Seventh-day Adventist and what that did for her, because she's also been a literature evangelist, somebody who is helping other people know about precious truth through the written Word. And she's a fascinating person. Tell me a little bit more about all of this and why she became so involved in evangelism.
When my grandmother, her mom, became pregnant with her, it was out of wedlock. So the family was very religious. They were Catholics. and they kicked her out of the house, my grandmother. So when my mom was born, she was born without a father figure for most of her life. And eventually she started to cling to parts of the world, to wealth and to, you know, jewelry and to being attractive and all sorts of things. And when she married my father, she found in him the person she was always looking for, and it was very happy, except that she was still looking for the world to fulfill her deepest desire. So when she met Jesus properly, you know, and she tells, others tell the story, my aunties tell the story of when she first went to an Adventist church, you know, decked out in jewelry, mm-hmm. you know, with a mini skirt, and it was completely different to what the brethren had in the church. Mm. But they loved her, and they accepted her, and she began to change, and the impact that Jesus had in her life was so tremendous that from that point onward, her life was about talking about that love to others. And she did that all her life. You know, I grew up learning the Bible in order to teach the children while she taught the adults, you know, Bible studies. And we would move from place to place. There was once she came to the conference president, the pastor of a larger field within the Adventist church. And she goes, give me a municipality, a city, a town that doesn't have any Adventist church. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out this one here. So she came home and said, we're all moving there.
A real mission objective.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, we're going to, and she said, prepare a Bible worker. In 6 months, you're going to need him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And we still have an Adventist church there.
Praise
now.
God.
And there are many of those examples. So I grew up with her educating me to become a pastor and to dedicate my life to this ministry as well.
That's fantastic. Now, in one of our programs in Revival for Mission, I heard you say, if I'm not mistaken, that your father really wanted you to become an ambassador, but your mother wanted you to be a pastor, and she had dedicated you, now that we understand. That's why your name is Samuel. I mean, that's a fantastic story also. Growing up, I also enjoyed that story as a little boy, and I still do.
Yeah.
It's a powerful story. In fact, we have a grandson named Samuel, so it kind of reminds me of that as well. But growing up, you were educated to be a pastor and to focus your attention on soul winning and evangelism and bringing people into this knowledge that Jesus has provided salvation for us and eternal life, and that He's coming soon. And of course, the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, the fourth angel of Revelation 18, these are special messages of God's providence that we are to share. And that animates your heart. You get excited about Christ and His righteousness and all of that. But did you ever have times when you doubted whether you really should be a pastor?
Yes. Absolutely. My father was largely responsible for that. When I was about 11 and he saw that I was taking this thing very seriously, he went to the conference and said, okay, tell me about pastors. How much do they get paid? What are the benefits? What is life like? I want to know. And he came back that day, looked at me and said, you won't be a pastor. You cannot be a pastor.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you need to be a diplomat. And he told me that he always wanted to be a diplomat. And my father was, he went into the military. He was a colonel in the military. So he had lots of connections with the government. And he painted this beautiful picture that a diplomat would be able to travel the world and would be able to, they would pick him up at the airport and there would be a great life, you know, great celebrations and honor and so on. He says, that's the life that you need to have, my son. And I bought into it. I thought, yes, I like that. I'm going to serve God as a diplomat. That's what I'm going to do. And it's perfectly appropriate to do that, except that my mother had dedicated me to be a minister, to be a pastor. So she became very sad about that whole thing. And she did what she usually does, which is to pray. One day, 2 years later or so, she comes and says, God gave me an insight that you need to go to England to study.
Hmm.
And I said, I love it. Yes, let's do it. And my father was not as pleased. Of course, he did not want to lose me, right? We were great friends. We got along very well together, and it was going to be hard for him and for me, too. But the adventure was calling.
And you were about what age?
13.
13. Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
So she said, that, no, we need to do this. There is no doubt in my mind that God is calling you, and you need to go to England to study. And my dad, at the time, was fascinated by the General Conference session in Utrecht. So he came home with 4 tickets to go to the GC session in Utrecht. And we were delighted. He always wanted to go to Europe. He studied Europe all his life. Now he had a chance. So we end up in Europe, and we go to the stand of Newbold College, which was the college in England where, you know, I would study. And they look at my mom, they look at me, and they said, no, it's a college. He's 13. He's too young. And my mom looked at the translator, and eventually she's like, no, but God said he should study in England.
Sounds like your mother.
Yeah, exactly right. And Newbold, the guys that were there said, no, he cannot. Is there any other school? No, there isn't. Of course, there was, but they didn't know about it. So when we visited England, my mother was all but depressed. It's like, but God said that, I don't understand. What's going on? The last day that we're in England, my dad had the idea to go and watch the change of guard in Buckingham Palace. And 5,000 other people had the same idea. So he dropped me off with a camera to film. I've always loved cameras and all of that. And so I left to film it, and he went around the block. I still wasn't ready because the horses just couldn't go fast enough, and we had to wait for them. So eventually he dropped my mom and my sister, and we were then waiting for him to come back with the car, and he never came back.
Mm.
Hours and hours, and 6 hours went by, he didn't come back.
Mm.
And that night we were supposed to go back on the ferry to that afternoon to Brussels, and Saturday night back to Brazil on the flights.
My.
We had the passports, he had the money. Neither of us would go anywhere. So my mom was quite desperate, but we contacted the Brazilian embassy. I couldn't speak English properly, so my greatest achievement is making one of those guards move. You know, the Queen's guards? I came to one, looked up, and said, Brazil family lost you. Father, park your car, go away, no come back. And he understood exactly what I was trying to say. He called a taxi, and we got in the taxi to the Brazilian embassy. They took care of us, and they found my father called the next day from Newbold College to the hotel where we were staying.
Oh, my.
It was the only place that we knew about.
Uh-huh.
So he found the maps from the brochures and from the exhibition.
Had he just gotten lost or what?
He got lost. He totally got lost. My father couldn't drive properly on the Brazilian side of the road, let alone in London, right? So he got totally lost.
Oh, my.
And eventually he made it to Newbold, and he called the airlines. The consulate had called the airlines, and they gave the phone number of the hotel. Long story short, we sat with Brother de Oliveira, Japheth de Oliveira's father. He's a pastor as well. And he told us, but there is Stambur School. It's a boarding school for teenagers. And my mom suddenly came back to life.
Uh-huh.
So there's hope. He can go there. And that's exactly what happened. They went home. My mom put the house for sale. My dad disagreed. So she would put the sign out, the for sale sign. He would come and take it down. She would put it out in the morning. He would come and take it down. So she struck a deal with him. He said, look, we won't put any sign out. We will not advertise the houses for sale. But if somebody comes in to buy the house, we'll sell it. Deal? My dad's like, nobody ever offered. Deal. 2 weeks later, Pastor.
Mm.
Somebody comes and has the exact money we need.
My.
He bought the house, and I went to study at Stambur School.
Amazing.
Within 4 months of being at Stambur, a friend looked at me and said, Sam, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but you should be a pastor. He knew nothing of my story.
Mm.
And God used this friend, Jonathan Oliveira is his name, to touch my heart and to push the buttons that mattered. And from the next morning, I decided again to be a pastor, and I haven't looked back since.
Praise God. Now, you've been a pastor that's a fascinating story. I'm glad your father finally found Newbold College. I mean, that, and I've driven in England, too. It can be confusing, you know.
Yeah.
For those of us who drive on the other side. You've been a pastor now 15 years or so, mm-hmm. and pastored local churches primarily, but you're very much involved in digital ministry and all that. Tell me a little bit about the pastoral work you've been doing and also what you're doing now.
On my first year of ministry after my master's, which I studied at Newbold College, my master's, we had lots of activities in the church. I was an intern. And at the end of the year, I called my mom, as we do at the end of every year, and we had a review of the year. And I told her, we did this activity and that and this and this, and it was so wonderful. And she said that she was, you know, celebrating with me. And then she asked, and how many people gave their lives to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mom, we're in Europe. Baptisms just don't happen very often. You know, it's the average is 2 baptisms per church.
Hmm.
But we created thousands of connections with the community. She said, but little Sam, she always called me Samuelzinho, you know, little Sam. But little Sam, if people are not getting baptized, there is no mission. Uh-huh. And that had a profound impact on me. The second year, the same thing happened. And the same dialogue. And that from that moment on, I was vaccinated from the idea that community service is evangelism. It isn't. And
it's an entering wedge.
Absolutely. It's the first part of Christ's method. But there is a second part,
which
is the calling for people to follow Jesus. And so when I went to my first church, I tried to put all of that in practice. And I remember how difficult it was to make the appeals at the end. And in marketing, you would call that a call to action. And you would not put an advertising out without a call to action. And you shouldn't preach a sermon without an appeal. So I took the risk and I started appealing for people to be baptized. And waiting for like a minute, you know, what's somebody here will give their life to Christ. And it was very uncomfortable, especially for Europeans.
Yep.
Well, guess what happened? At the end of that year, 19 people were baptized.
Amen.
So for me, it was the experience in ministry I needed to have that courage to challenge people to give everything to Jesus because he's given everything for them and he loved us first. So that's been my experience in ministry, both in face-to-face situations and also in the digital world where I spend most of my time now.
Fantastic. This time, this segment, we have some very special guests. And Pastor Sam, I'm going to let you introduce them because they're a great bunch of fellas here. Tell me who they are.
Absolutely. This is my offspring.
Okay.
So Amy and I, my wife is English. I came back to England. Afterwards, I went back to Brazil to do my bachelor's degree, then came back to England and where I met Amy. I met Amy for the first time in the same class as I was at Stamber.
Mm.
Eventually, we got married.
Wow.
And this is the result of that. So James is my eldest. And here is Joshua, and this is Miles.
That's fantastic. James and Joshua and Miles, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Now, James, tell me a little bit about, you know, you're growing up in the home of a pastor. What does he do?
Well, he helps lead people to God's salvation, and he does this through internet places like that, and he creates games like Heroes and Heroes 2.
Yeah, fact that's a very special program. We interviewed 2 young people who were helping in Heroes Volume 2 or the second version, and this is all to help people know the Bible better and to be able to attract them to Jesus so that he can use them in a powerful way. So I suppose it's interesting for you to kind of watch all of this development kind of from the sidelines, and you play and have a good time, and then you watch Dad, and he's doing some good work. But does he play with you once in a while?
Sort of. Most of the time, me and my brothers are playing.
Yeah.
We run downstairs where his studio is, and then he mutes himself and yells, "Quiet!" and goes right back.
Well,
and then we're sitting like this.
Yeah, well, that's a very honest
answer.
And we
have to go back upstairs.
And he does have a lot of work to do, but I'm glad that he takes some time with you. In fact,
he does.
Bringing you here on the set, that's a significant thing, and I'm so glad that you're here. Now, Joshua, what was it like to leave England and come to the United States as a missionary, because you're a missionary here to the U.S. What was that like?
Well, at first, when I was in England, I was all happy.
But when I came to America to be a missionary, I thought everything was going to be okay. And then, like, a couple of years later, when I was in America, like, the coronavirus and stuff, and it just didn't do well. And now I wish I was back in England.
Oh, well, one of these
days. But first I would be here, though, and then go back to England or something.
One of these days you may get back to England. Who knows? Maybe you'll go to school there like your dad did. But, yeah, the coronavirus has not been a very nice thing to anybody.
I know. I thought it was going to be all good, and then it was all bad.
Well, by God's grace, it's going to get a little bit better. And let's just pray that the Lord will lead us. Now, Miles, you go to school on Zoom.
Zoom class.
Zoom class. Okay. What is it like to go to school on Zoom? Is it good or bad, or how does that work?
It's good and sometimes bad because she usually lets us go in the classroom and play when it is break time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. On Zoom, you can kind of, you know, do a few things when you wouldn't normally be able to do them if you were in a classroom. Pastor Sam, what's it like to have three active young men in your home?
It's hard work.
Hard work.
And my wife would testify to that. It's the energy, the levels of energy is tremendous. Recently, we've told them to get out of the house for at least half an hour in the garden and then come back in so that most of that energy is burnt. James loves reptiles and gets into all sorts of nature things and creation.
Great.
Joshua is the scientist in the home. He loves fossils and construction.
I have a whole collection of fossils.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Shark teeth.
And shark's teeth. Wow.
And Miles, we're discovering what he's great at. He's the cutest of them all at home. And it's great to watch them grow and see their passions for things that God instilled in them.
And God is using them just like he did you and is using you as you grew up to preach the word and to be a witness for Jesus. Powerful to have all of you with us. Thank you for being with us on Revival for Mission. And for those of you who are watching, I'd like you to remember that fantastic experience that Pastor Sam has had in learning that God had a special purpose for him as a pastor. And so Pastor Sam fulfills what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, whether it's on internet, whether it's in person. And that verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What a powerful witness. Thank you to Pastor Sam and his family for being that witness. God bless each one of you, and we'll see you again on Revival for Mission.